ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 288. Oshadham. He is medicine. Medicine is a very broad English term within which there are also categories. There are various kinds of medicines, external applications, internal applications, administered by injection, emulsions, and I don't know because I'm not as from mental disease. There are from mental states. There are depressants and stimulants. There are expectorants, digestives, very different kinds of medicines. But the whole idea is something is wrong with a person. The person in materialistic outlook understood to be the body and the mind. And by application of some external substance, that condition becomes corrected. There are other kinds of treatment also which don't require medicine. For instance, physiotherapy relies on exercise. But Krishna is here compared to a medicine, or he's called medicine. In Gita also, Krishna says, Aham kratu araham yagyam swadhaham aham aushadham. I am the herb, the healing herb, Srila Prabhupada translates here. These terms are all connected with yagya. Krishna says, I am the aushadha. So this appears to, in this context, means some kind of herbs that are offered into the fire. That's one kind of medicine also, smoke medicine. If you go to the CMC, they won't give you smoke medicine, but that comes in Ayurveda, Chinese medicine, by inhaling various smokes, herbal smokes, one can be cured. In Bhagavatam also, there's a verse which Srila Prabhupada quoted at the beginning of Krishna book. It comes at the beginning of the 10th canto, the 4th verse of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, in which Parikshit Maharaj, expressing his appreciation for hearing about Krishna that he's been doing from Shukadeva Goswami for the last 8 cantos, says, Nivritta Tarshai Rupa Giyamanad Bhavo Shodhach. You hear that word? Bhavo Shodhach. Chotramano Bhiramat. Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanavanam Gunanavadat Puman Virajeta Vina Pashugnat. He says, Parikshit says that for persons who are satiated of with this material desire, they no longer have any material thirst, they're finished, they've had enough of material, the aspiration for material enjoyment. So for them to glorify or hear others glorify Krishna is just like the medicine for material life. Material life here in terms of that which comes into being. that which is spiritual, that which comes into being, which means that which is destroyed also. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. But this medicine, Parikshit says, it's not a bitter medicine. It's very pleasing to the mind. What is that? That is repeating the glorification of he who is glorified in the best way, by the best verses. So who will not appreciate that? Well, those who are not Nivritta Trishna, those who are not freed from their thirst, those who are, everyone will appreciate except those who are animal killers and killers of the soul. And killers of the soul means everyone should appreciate, but most people don't appreciate because they're involved in spoiling their human form of life for sense gratification. So hearing about Krishna is non-different from Krishna, and that is just like a medicine. A medicine is something miraculous, it seems, that you have some disease and you take some pill, and it, just a little pill, and it alters the whole metabolism, which is infected by disease. It takes it from the diseased, suffering condition to a healthy condition in which one can feel happy. One cannot feel happy if one is unhealthy. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, one can be happy in all situations, but even then, materially, it is uncomfortable. Even to get a cold is a very common thing. It's called the common cold. It's the most common thing, but it can be. It's not serious. It can be serious if it's not, if it's neglected, it can turn into pneumonia. But in general, we don't worry very much about a cold. We know that, as the saying goes, if you take medicine, it'll go away in 7 days. If you don't take medicine, it'll go away in a week. So it goes away by itself, more or less, unless you neglect it. And if you just keep warm and it should go away. Although the effect, the hangover of it, there may be mucus coming for a long time afterwards. But the actual cold should go away very quickly. So we don't worry much about it. But at the same time, it can be very, very miserable. Always sneezing and coughing and usually some headache and all this gunk coming out of your nose and your mouth. Sometimes you can't sleep at night because you're sneezing and expectorating in the night. So it's not a major disease, but it's unpleasant. And what to speak of major diseases like cancer, AIDS. Well, AIDS is not a disease in itself, it's a syndrome of, but it leads to all kinds of, and many diseases which are very, very painful and debilitating. Leprosy, to watch your body rot away. Actually, the body is rotting away, but when it rots away from the outside, it looks horrible, and it must be traumatic for the persons who have it to see day by day their fingers are just less and less there. So and the social ostracization that goes with that, to be considered a leper. Previously, actually, leprosy used to be widespread all over the world. It wasn't only in India and Africa and where it is nowadays. It's become controlled to a large extent in the Western world, but it was widespread in Europe. And then when Europeans went to America, there were lepers in America also. But when someone got leprosy in Europe, they were considered, it was like taking sannyas. They were considered socially dead. Their family members could split their inheritance. They were just considered, they were finished. That's it. It's all over, folks. You might as well be dead. So, disease is such a nasty thing. But this Krishna is the medicine, just like a magic. What's the worst disease? Bhavarog. Krishna's bhavoshodha. The medicine. Just a second here.
This is a non-medicinal
treatment of disease. By sitting like this helps to keep the pain out of the joint. By putting a little pain, like sitting like this, you get less pain in other ways. So Krishna is just like a medicine. He is the medicine for the disease of considering oneself the body and thus having to suffer repeated birth, death, old age, and disease. So our real disease is forgetfulness of Krishna. Because if we remember Krishna, then everything is nice. If we remember Krishna favorably, if we worship Krishna, then that in and of itself means that all our problems are finished. We say, well, still I have to pay the bills, and still my next door neighbor is playing loud rock music up until 3 o'clock in the morning, so I can't sleep, and still the dog next door is barking all night along with the rock music. So it doesn't seem that all my problems went away. But we should know that the problems, when we take to Krishna consciousness by Krishna's mercy, the problems are finished. It's like the electric fan is turned off and it's still going round. But we know that it's off. Or someone is, the body has died, still there may be some movement in the body due to the contraction of muscles, and even if you don't burn the body quickly, then you may see the hair and the nails may appear to grow still, but it's finished, it's over. So like that, we should know that when we take the Krishna medicine, then the disease of material life is finished. Of course, one has to take the medicine according to the direction of the doctor. Any medicine can be used well or it can be misused. Some medicines, or many medicines, it's said that if you misuse it, then you can cause more harm than if you take it under proper guidance. Many, many people, especially children, die from taking medicine. In Indian English, medicine doesn't only mean what is referred to in English as medicine, but it also means pesticide is also called medicine for some reason or other. So many people in India commit suicide by taking pesticide. In Ayurveda also, it's not that Ayurveda is all completely harmless. If you take some medicines, they increase vata, for instance. So if one has a vata condition, it'd be very bad to take that. And some medicines, they have heavy metals in them also. So if one, if that's not properly processed, or if one takes too much, then one can have severe problems, for instance, of the kidney by taking Ayurvedic medicines. One doctor told me that he has, it's quite common that one in Salem, a doctor told me it's quite common that they have patients with kidney problems and the problems come by taking Ayurvedic medicines. Because either they take too much or they're not properly processed. These heavy metals like lead and mercury. I don't know about lead, but mercury is certainly used in Ayurveda. But if it's not properly processed, silver, gold, if it's not properly processed so that the body can absorb it, then it becomes, it acts as a poison. And so the Krishna medicine has to be taken very carefully, very potent medicine. The medicines which are very potent, they have to be taken very carefully. So the medicine has to be taken under guidance. It's a very, this condition, the disease of material life, it's a very complex condition. In medicine, there are what can be called complex conditions. If someone has a common cold, that's a simple thing. But one may have multiple diseases, and sometimes the doctors find it hard to understand. For instance, headache is very difficult for them to analyze in many cases. Even stomach pain sometimes can be very difficult to analyze. Well, I'm not a doctor, so I'm just doing my winging it as I go along, as they say. But it can be an unusual complaint or something which is wrong. This is in Ayurveda, they analyze like this more than in Western medicine, that because of some imbalance in some part of the system, that affects something else, affects something else, affects something else. And it might appear that one has, for instance, a pitta condition, but actually the underlying problem is an imbalance of vata, which affects and causes the symptom. So the Krishna medicine is very potent medicine. It's a cure-all. There are some medicines which usually don't work, but they're advertised that they cure everything. If you find a medicine advertised that it cures everything, you can know it probably doesn't cure anything. Although there are some wonder drugs which have some miraculous effects. They're very powerful. In Ayurveda, aloe is one that... Ginger is supposed to be one of the best... Haldi, turmeric, these are all considered very good. Amla is one of the miracle. These are all common things. Huh? So Krishna cures all the problems. But one has to take very carefully, because if one has the wrong attitude or makes offenses, then, or has the wrong guidance, then we may find that we're not getting cured. Bahu janma kare jadi shavan kirtan tabuta napai Krishna pade premadan. Even if we go on chanting Hare Krishna over many lifetimes, the actual result of chanting, which is attaining prema, pure love of Krishna, doesn't take place. If we are offensive, that offensive may come in various ways, just like there are some sampradayas. They're called upper sampradayas. And in many ways they seem many good, but they just, their main sadhana is chanting some invented mantra which is completely bogus. So it might seem that they are nama-nishtha, they have very strong faith in the holy name, but because their whole chanting is some invented mantra which is apasiddhantic, then all their chanting doesn't held them in the, as they, if they were chanting the actual Maha Mantra properly. So this material life, it's like poison. And the antidote is Krishna consciousness. Krishna. The active, what's the active principle in Krishna consciousness that makes, that purifies and purifies us and fills our heart with happiness of love of Krishna? The active principle is Krishna himself. And that's the underlying theme of many of these names in Vishnu Sahasranam. Yad yad vibhuti matsatvam srimad urjitam eva va tata deva vagachatvam mama tejongsha sambhavam. Everything that is, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the good Lord made them all. So when we see anything big and bright and wonderful and awesome, then we should know that whatever strikes us as being wonderful, the wonder is Krishna. So that refers to the vibhutis, the manifestations of Krishna, of anything wonderful within this world. But we find again in Gita, Krishna again and again says, Balang Balavatang Chaham, he is the strength of the strong. Tejas Tejas Vinamaham, he is the Teja means the intensity of the intense. Purusham Nirshu, he is the ability in man. Whatever is there which is impressive in any way, that comes from Krishna. The active principle is Krishna. So name 289 is Jagatas Setu, the bridge of the universe. So in one way we've just heard how he is the medicine for material life, and now in another analogy, he is the bridge for crossing out of the material world. So the material life is compared to various conditions. One is a disease. Another common analogy is that this material world is like a great ocean that is impossible to cross, but Krishna is the bridge by which we can cross over. Setu can also mean a dam. It blocks up, stops the water flowing. So in that way he also stops bhava pravaha, the flow of material life. Bhava pravaho paramam padam bhujam. By hearing about Krishna, one becomes released from the being carried away in the flow, the river of material life. Dam and bridge, they're usually a dam, or often a dam also serves as a bridge, as we see in post-independence India, where one of the main fascinations of the government is making more and more dams. So you can also, it serves both purposes. A dam, and then it's used as a bridge also. The traffic and the trains can go on the dam, and in this way cross over. So various ideas of the dam are given here. One idea is not given here. Is the he keeps the water in one place, doesn't let the that flow of the material world that can never flow into the spiritual world. There's one side is water, the other side is earth. So there's a distinction. We cannot bring our material concepts into the spiritual world. Though with material concepts, we cannot enter into spiritual life. This is a very important understanding, because even though we may superficially take to devotional service, but as long as we retain material conceptions, the root of which is aham mama, thinking in terms of I and mine. As long as we think in those terms, then we cannot enter the spiritual world. Of course, that aham mama in the spiritual existence, that can remain, but in a completely different way. That I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. We can say Krishna is mine when we come to the very advanced platform. That Krishna is my little boy, Krishna is my friend, Krishna is my lover. So that at a very high level, one can say Krishna is mine. But even at the beginning level, or that is the beginning level, to say I am Krishna's. And some so-called spiritualists, they almost get it right, but they get it really wrong. Instead of saying I am Krishna's, they say I am Krishna. So Krishna is the dam. He doesn't let such damned people approach him. He damns them. D-A-M-N. So the dam is also that which keeps everything in order. Oh, another meaning is, this is a completely, there are different meanings here. Boundary, fixed rule is another meaning. Then one meaning of Setu is Pranav. Omka is the mantranam setu. Among all the mantras, it's supposed to be the bridge, the best of mantras. Now another meaning, again Satdevo Vasishta, one of the commentators, he usually comes up with very subtle and esoteric meanings, which are not. He finds meanings in the Sanskrit which are not, usually the meaning he gives is not the primary meaning. The Jagata Setu is very clear, the primary meaning is the bridge of the universe. But he usually interprets in a different way. In Mahabharata also, there are names of Krishna given, which they're common names, but there's one section, but they're given all very not primary meanings. So that may be also. So he gives the meaning that one who binds and keeps intact all that moves in the world. He is the principle that holds everything together. The theory of everything the scientists are looking for, because they have all these different mathematical rules which they have found operate in the universe, starting from simple geometry, which I'm just simple geometry, diameter times pi equals the, is it diameter? No, diameter times pi is the length of the circumference. Whew, got one. Remembered something after all those years in school. Then in a right angle where with two sides the same, a squared plus b squared, and this, and then the other angle, c squared, is something. Hmm? That's the hypotenuse, where there's something. Anyway, whew, I didn't do very well then. Oh, yeah, I did do actually when I was a kid, but I just, you know, this most basic geometry, just forgot it all. Whew. Shameful. So there are rules like that, and then all the way up to rules governing the universe. There are different constants, the Planck's constant and the gravitational constant, and so many different constants, and they've got all these different rules, and they're trying to find some mathematical equation which will hold them all together. It's called Krishna. He holds everything together. Maya tatamidam sarvam. No, that's the wrong word. Maya dhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Hituna anena kauntaya jagad viparivartate. Yeah, well, the other one also. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagad avyaktamurti namat sthani sarvabhuta. Nachahang teshva vastita. How is it? Krishna's inside and outside of everything. He is everything. He's not everything. This is how he does his adhyaksha, his overseeing of the universe. So the word jagat is derived from gati, that which moves. Gachati, gachatiti jagat. That is the dictionary definition. That which moves, that is the jagat. And setu gives the idea that which binds. So that which is moving constantly, but also held together. If something moves without, there's movement, without control, then everything will just become chaotic. That's an explosion. Well, there are such things as controlled explosions also, but it's just moving. But it's moving, and at the same time there are forces which stop everything just becoming homogeneous. One body remains as one body, another body remains as another body. So that principle is Krishna, holds everything together. Okay, one more name I'll do today. Satya Dharma Parakramaha. This could again be broken up into different words. Satya Dharma could be one name. He is Satya Dharma. But here in this analysis, it's given as one name. He is Satya Dharma. Well, let's analyze this. He is Satya, truth. He is Dharma. Those two words, they are somewhat different concepts, but they are inseparable concepts. If where there is Satya, there must be Dharma. Without Dharma, there cannot be Satya. Without Satya, there cannot be Dharma. They're inseparable concepts. But there's also Dharma, or that which goes in the name of Dharma, which is not Satya. It appears to be Dharma, but it's not properly based on Satya. And therefore, that analysis is there in the seventh canto. This Chala Dharma, and what are the other ones? Can you remember? Kaitava Dharma, I believe that doesn't come in the seventh canto. There are four. Upadharma. There are all kinds of what appears to be Dharma, but it's not really Dharma at all. So, real Dharma must be based on Satya. Therefore, we have at the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Remember, the Bhagavatam begins where the Gita leaves off. So at the end of the Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Dhamman Parityajya. And at the beginning of Bhagavatam, Satyam Param Dhimahi. So, Satya Dharma means that which is based on Satya. So, Dharma that is based on going to the heavenly planets. Mimamsakas, they think they're following Dharma. They're really in, their whole thing is Dharma. We have to follow Dharma. We have to follow the Vedas and follow Dharma. But Dharma for in human society, that is what one should follow, but that is not all in all. That is a basis. But then there is Brahma Jignasa. There is the spiritual understanding. So, Satya, that which is factual. Therefore, all this Christianity and Islam, and there's some satya in there, but not a lot. And therefore, the principles of dharma are violated in the name of dharma in so-called religion. The four basic principles of dharma, satya, socha, tapa, daya, they are violated in these religions. How can it's not satya dharma? Something is there, but nothing substantial. So Krishna is satya dharma. We should understand this very clearly. What is satya? What is asat? Unless we understand clearly what is sat, what is real, factual, then we cannot properly follow dharma. So even if one follows all the rules of dharma as a good Hindu or whatever, although Hindus nowadays, they don't have any, this concept of dharma, which is so much central to the Vedic culture, that's also lost, becoming lost. That is sustained by a Shastric ethos, at least Mahabharata, Ramayana especially. By hearing Ramayana, a strong sense of dharma is inculcated, but that's lost. So dharma, that is very good, but satya dharma, that is Krishna. So parakrama means who is valorous. So Krishna is valorous. Brave and active and in. So Krishna is satya dharma parakrama. He's active in protecting and upholding satya dharma. Satya dharma you might translate as true religion, but that's maybe not such a good translation. It gives the idea of my religion against your religion. People without any proper idea of dharma, they say that our Christian dharma is better than your Hindu dharma, or our Islam, that's better. But this is, people who say like that and think like that have no actual idea of any dharma. Because dharma is not sectarian. Dharma is the inherent nature of every living being. So the dharma of every living being is to serve Krishna. It's not that someone's got the right dharma and someone's got the wrong dharma. One should know what is the truth. It's not just a matter of joining the right church or going to. It's to understand the truth factually. So this Krishna is heroic, parakrama, means he takes steps to establish what is correct. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanya bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. So Krishna, he's heroic, powerful, bold, active in upholding satya dharma. If he did not do so, then very quickly everything would deteriorate. Because people come to this world to forget Krishna. Ichha dvesha samuttena. Dvandva mohena bharata sarvutani sammoham sargayanti parantapa. Everyone comes to this world to be a rascal, basically. So unless there's dharma, unless Krishna is active personally through his representatives establishing dharma, then everything will deteriorate very quickly. So in that sense, we just spoke about how Krishna is holding everything together. But that's not just physically, but even socially, psychologically, mentally. So Krishna is very active in giving, as Paramatma, he gives suggestions to the jivas whose tendency is just to degrade completely. But he gives suggestion, no, you should do this, this is right. There's that word in English, the conscience, in the sense of, I thought about stealing, I entered the shop and there was no one in the shop, and I thought about stealing and walking out, but then I couldn't because my conscience told me it was wrong. So conscience, there's one usage of the English word conscience, means the sense of knowing what is right and wrong, and the sense that one should act in a good way and not do bad things. My conscience does not permit me. This is he's saying that I cannot join the plot to ouster the president of the country because my conscience does not permit me. Something you can say like this. Cannot do it. So Krishna, he acts also to within the hearts of people who their tendency is to degrade. But he checks them also. So in many ways he gives that sense of right and wrong, even it may be very undeveloped in most people. But some sense of right and wrong is there. So that's also Krishna's gift. Of course, this could be analyzed in great detail. What is satya dharma? What is asat? All these misconceptions. So many misconceptions in the name of religion, in Kali Yuga especially. The idea that you're born once and then you die, and on the basis of what you do in one life, you're either saved forever or you're condemned forever. So this is asat. This is not satya dharma. This is not proper understanding. So, Hare Krishna. I'll finish there for now. Any question about this? All right. Can we offer medicine to Krishna before taking it? I believe in Hari Bhakti Vilas it stated that one should do so. One should offer even medicine before taking it. But I don't do that if the medicine is bad tasting. There are some medicines, well, apart from medicine, there are tonics and different things. So one of the tonics that I regularly take, especially in the winter, is good, is Chyawanprash, which generally tastes quite nice. But another one which I regularly take is Trifala Churna, which doesn't taste nice. So why should I offer that to Krishna? That's what I think. Sometimes people, when they get a cold, sometimes they cover their head with a cloth and put it over the hot bowl of steam. So should you put the deity there before you go? Subject him to that? I don't think so. Or now I have to have an operation, but first we'll put the knife on the deity, because everything should be offered to Krishna. Well, there are some. A guru is the representative of God, so. So I'm having a kidney operation, but first we'll do one on him, and then we'll use the same knives as prasadam. But he doesn't need a kidney operation, so there has to be some exercise of intelligence in all these matters. A perfect follower of my guru. My guru had a kidney operation, so I should also have one. I don't need one, but I'm just showing I'm a faithful follower. It's not a good idea. Hare Krishna! All glories to Srila Prabhupada.